So let's go before the Lord and hopefully get me straightened out before I continue on here. So thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're excited for opportunities to hear your word, to receive the revelation that you have for us today. Work by your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want to share with you the word of prophecy. And if you weren't here last week, didn't get last week's sermon notes, I just encourage you, there's extras out on the usher's station back there. I'm going to go through this prophecy again that came the first Sunday of January, January 4th. And it is printed on last week's sermon notes. So if you want a copy of it and don't have that, you can get that from last week's sermon notes out there. But I'm going to share this again and share kind of what we touched on last week and where we're going with it this week. I sense the Lord saying these words: I'm calling my people to a higher place, to walk in higher heights than you have walked before, to do things that you have never done before, things that are going to require boldness, things that are going to require the strength of the Lord. You have sung about the joy of the Lord being your strength. You have said that there is none like you. You have declared those words to me, says the Lord, and I am calling you to that today. That if you believe that if you say there is none like you, then draw from me, says the Lord your God. Let my strength infuse you. Let my strength strengthen you to do the works that I am calling you to, that higher place that I have called you to walk in. A higher plane, says the Lord. You shall mount up with wings as eagles as you wait upon me. You shall walk in the heights that I have called you to. But it's going to require faith. It's going to require trust. It's going to require you walking with me on a daily basis. You listening to the word of the Lord so that you can take the steps that I have ordered for you, says the Lord. This is the place that I am calling you to. Walk there in it. I sense the Lord saying this as well. As this is the beginning of a new year, let it be the beginning of a new day for you. Let it be the beginning of a new day for this church. Let it be the beginning, says the Lord, of you walking in those places that I have called you to. Look at it as a fresh start, says the Lord. Don't look at the past. Don't look at the circumstances saying, well, we can't because of whatever. Look at it as a new time, a new experience for new opportunities, says the Lord, and walk there in it. Now, I want you to receive this word as I believe the Lord intended, that it is a word to our church, because it describes that. Let it be a beginning of a new day for this church. But also, it is a personal word for you, as it says, let it begin be a beginning of a new day for you. So don't just kind of sit back and say, wow, I can't wait to see what's going to happen with the church, what these new things are, these new heights, these new places, so on and so forth. No, you start looking on the inside and say, wow, I can't wait to see what God has intended for me to do. Last week, we talked about the places. I brought up three things: places, walking with the Lord, and walking in God's strength, or the strength of the Lord. When we talked about places, the words that came forth here were higher places and higher heights. And I described how that is both spiritually and physically. It's walking in new dimensions with the Lord. And we saw the priest Jeshua and how God had spoken to him, how God cleansed him and said, you will walk among these, speaking even of the angels. But that's also talking about physical places, new things, new positions that the Lord would have us walk in, that the Lord would have us do. So it's both spiritual and physical. And walking with the Lord, we talked about listening to the word of the Lord and walking in the steps ordered of the Lord. And I shared with you from A.W. Tozer about developing the spiritual organs by which we can know God. And also from Dr. Howard Morgan, that God doesn't have favorites, he has intimates. And what it means to be an intimate with God. Not a favorite of God, but to be an intimate with God. And from there, we were going to go into the strength of the Lord. So that's where we are at here today. Now, with some of the words that came in this prophecy, I'm just going to highlight them as it described about and spoke so many times regarding the strength of the Lord. Do things that you have never done before. It says it will require boldness. It will require the strength of the Lord. Let my strength infuse you. Let my strength strengthen you to do the works. You have sung about the joy of the Lord being your strength. And then I took you to, in kind of introduction to this week's message, or preview of this week's message, I took you to Ephesians chapter 5. And I would like to have you turn there with me, please. And we're going to take off from that passage here today in talking about the strength of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. I don't know if your Bible has headings over some of the paragraphs in it or not. Several Bible texts have little imprinted things over that give kind of a clue as to what's in that section. But in this, mine says living by the Spirit's power. Okay? So Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and giving thanks and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so again, we already looked at these things. I shared this with you last week, so I'll go through it real quick. But be careful how you live, it says in this passage. And it says to make the most of every opportunity. And it says don't act thoughtlessly. Remember in our scripture messages when we were talking about, exercising and running the race to win, it says, Paul says, I don't shadow box. In other words, I'm not just wasting my time here. I'm not just doing fruitless activity. I am doing things that's going to make the most of every opportunity. So we're not acting thoughtlessly and not just shadow boxing. It says, understand what the Lord wants you to do. How can we please the Lord if we're not doing what he wants us to do? And how do we know unless we understand what he wants us to do? Okay, and then it says, don't be drunk with wine. That's going to destroy your life. But instead, the alternative or the comparative to that, it says, be filled with the Spirit. So now I'm going to take this passage of Scripture and go on from here and share with you what is God's strength supply. Please turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Now for many of you, these will be familiar Scriptures, but it's absolutely fine to go over them again and to be reminded of what the Lord says when he is speaking this word, this prophetic word to us about walking in his strength, receiving his, being infused by his strength. Well, what is he talking about? You know, how do we know? Okay, Lord, I want your strength. Well, what does he mean when he says, receive my strength? And what are we saying when we are asking for that? Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. It says, and this is just before Jesus ascends to heaven. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Okay? Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He said, wait till the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Okay, so what is the Holy Spirit going to do? It's going to fill us with power from heaven. God's strength infusing us happens as a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with power from heaven. Okay, then Acts chapter 1, Luke also is the author of Acts. And so as we begin in the first part of Acts chapter 1, Luke says this in my first book, which was the Gospel of Luke. I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here again, we see Luke recounting what Jesus said before he ascended, how he addressed his disciples. And he said to them, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Another term for filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized. The word baptized comes from the Greek word bapto, which means to whelm, to completely overwhelm or fill. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Again, that's what Jesus was saying, is that your source of power is going to come as a result of a gift from the Father, and that being the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you will be my witnesses. This is the purpose of the power. Okay, so when the Lord's talking to us about being strengthened to do the works that he's called us to do, the works that we are called to do are in some form, in some fashion, to be witnesses for him, to be representing him. I love how the passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 speaks of us being ambassadors for God. God makes us to be representatives of him, and then he empowers us to do it. So we can do it with his strength and with his ability, not just our own human abilities or inabilities, really. God calls us to something higher. He calls us to walk in places that we could do things that we would otherwise not be able to do. And this is why Jesus said, wait. Don't go off now. Wait until you receive the power. Wait until you receive God's strength to do that. Okay, so then in Acts chapter 2, we see the event and the results. And so I'm going to share some, I'm just going to kind of really kind of jump around here in Acts chapter 2 and go to Acts chapter 4, and I might share some beyond that too. But we're seeing the event of the day of Pentecost and the results of that infilling, that power of the Holy Spirit. We'll start with verse 1 in chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Who gave them the ability to do this? You mean it wasn't a Rosetta Stone? You know, that's the language, learn a new language, you know, tapes, whatever. Now, I'm not putting that down. But it wasn't Rosetta Stone that gave them this ability to learn this language. God imparted them the ability to speak forth languages of the peoples that were gathered in Jerusalem as a result of this feast of Pentecost. And they were speaking in their various languages. Okay, so here, it's the day of Pentecost. All the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in the languages of the people. Now, we see the results of that. In verse 7, it says, they were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed, and they start talking about all, you know, you're Galileans, and here we are from all these different areas, these different cities, these countries, and you're speaking in our language. We all hear these people speaking in our own languages, the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? Okay, so some of them were amazed and perplexed, but others, verse 13, it says, others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. They're just drunk. Look at the crazy way they're acting. Look at the goofiness that they're, you know, manifesting. They've been drinking. That's what the deal is. Obviously scoffing, ridiculing. They're just drunk. Well, then Peter starts to do something. He stands up and he begins to preach. And he not just preaches, he preaches with boldness. And I'll just share a few things about that. I'm not, you know, he begins saying, you know, this. These guys aren't drunk. It's only 9 o'clock. I mean, you know, no one's drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's only 9 o'clock. He says, these guys aren't drunk as you would think that they are. But he says, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he begins to quote Joel that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. This is a result of the Spirit of God being poured out. This is the gift that Jesus spoke about. This is what Joel prophesied about so long ago. That's what's happened now. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And so he begins to continue on with that, what Joel had prophesied, and he goes on and he speaks. And then I'm going to jump down actually to verse 32. where it says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Remember that Jesus said, you're going to go and be my witnesses throughout Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so he says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. And then verse 36, it says, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Now we're going to get into it a little more later, but I want you to think about Peter pre-Pentecost and Peter post-Pentecost. Peter pre-Pentecost was a coward. Remember when Jesus was taken by the Roman soldiers and Jesus was confronted three times? Weren't you one of his disciples? No. I didn't even know him. He's backing off. That's Peter pre-Pentecost. Peter post-Pentecost is standing up and declaring to the very same people, you're the ones who crucified him. Wow, what a difference. Where did that difference come from? That boldness, that power to be the witness for Jesus Christ came from that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, gave him the ability to do what he would otherwise not do. Okay, so Peter preaches with boldness. And then down in verse, verse 37 on, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Okay, so Peter then, as a result of his bold preaching, all were invited to receive this gift, not only the gift of salvation, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that was not just for those on that day. As Peter said, it's for you, it's for your children, it's even for the Gentiles, it's for everyone that God calls to himself, this gift of salvation and this gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we see Peter preaching in his boldness. Now I want you to see a couple of things in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 3 is where Peter and John heal the lame man at the beautiful gate. And then they come into some conflict as a result of them expressing those things in the name of Jesus, Jesus who was crucified and Jesus who raised from the dead. And so here in Acts chapter 4, I'm just going to skip on to verse 8 where it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. So here Peter is speaking out again. And man, if there is anyone who is bold, is declaring to a people who put this man on the cross, you're the ones who crucified him. That's boldness. But notice, he was doing it by the Spirit. Verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking to them. Here's Peter post-Pentecost with a boldness that he had never had before. Now, he was always impetuous, but he was not bold like that. We see him pre-Pentecost as he's a coward, denying Jesus three times, denying he even knew him, cursing and swearing that he didn't even know him. That's how bad it was. Okay? So we see Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to the elders. He says, you the ones that crucified him. Now they began speaking to Peter and John. They said, well, you know, we don't want you talking about this Jesus anymore. You stop this. You stop preaching in his name. And verse 19, Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling everything that we have seen and heard. So again, in their boldness, they say, what are we going to obey, God or man? You tell us who we should obey. Should we obey you or should we obey God? He says, we cannot stop telling this. So even in the face of that opposition, Peter boldly stands up and says, we're going to obey God. We're going to keep speaking this message. Doesn't matter what the price is that we pay. You know, we're going to do this. Again, there's that boldness to carry out the will of the Lord and to be his witnesses. Okay, so Peter and John, they go back to the gathering of believers. Verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. And then they go into a time of prayer themselves. And down in verse 29, it says, this is part of their prayer. It says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of the holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayer. And there again, they were filled with the Spirit of God. They were not only filled on the day of Pentecost, but these days later, after the opposition, they gather together for prayer. They're pleading for the Lord, hear their requests and to grant them boldness in preaching. And what happens? They get filled again with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is their source of strength and their source of boldness and their source of the signs and wonders that would happen through them that would otherwise not happen, because it's the power of God, not the power of man. And so when the Lord is saying to us, you know, in my strength, you know, receive my infused strength in you, what is he saying? Or who is he speaking about? Who is he speaking about? I'm waiting for someone to answer. He's speaking about the Spirit of God. He's speaking, that is the source of strength. That is the source of strength. He is speaking about the Holy Spirit. They prayed for boldness in preaching, and they prayed for God's miraculous acts. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and preached with boldness. So the Spirit of God is God's strength supply. Now, back in Acts, in Ephesians chapter 5, it gave this command. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to give some comparative here. Why would those two things be joined together? You know, on the day of Pentecost, there was this mistakenness of them being drunk when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there was even kind of a comparison there. These guys are drunk. Well, naturally, the people didn't understand what... I'm going to have you hold your question. The people didn't understand what was happening, and so from their perspective, they're being influenced by something. And the only thing they could understand they're being influenced by was alcohol. Okay, so... But in Ephesians 5 here again is saying, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so I'm going to give you a few things about alcohol and what it does and why there may be this comparison between alcohol and filled with the Spirit, and the contrast as well, not just the comparison, but the contrast. Alcohol affects the brain soon after it enters the bloodstream. Within minutes, it numbs the nerve cells, slowing their messages to the body. The muscles of the heart strain to cope with alcohol's depressive action, and the pulse quickens. If drinking persists, the nerve centers in the brain governing speech, vision, and balance, and judgment are derailed. Now, are any of you having trouble seeing this picture? Are you drunk with wine? This is just a little photographic, you know, I still will blink my eyes and kind of, you know, back up, and, you know, there's double vision going on there. Well, that's what alcohol does with the brain. And the nerve centers of the brain, it starts to affect vision, balance, and judgment are derailed. Some other things: the brain's frontal lobe, which controls our judgment and inhibitions, is adversely affected. If ingesting the alcohol continues, the drinker may lose consciousness and be in danger of dying from respiratory failure. Okay, there's a couple of phrases that are used, particularly with driving. DUI, DWI. DUI stands for under the influence. DWI stands for while intoxicated, or some use it to indicate while impaired. And these, their definitions vary in various states, state laws, and so forth, with legal limits. And basically what they're talking about, the differences in the amount of blood alcohol content. But there is the phrase used under the influence, and there's the phrase which is even an increased state of while intoxicated. And again, what I want to share with you is what I believe is the devil's counterfeit of the real thing. Show you some comparisons and showing you some contrasts. Okay, first of all, one of the things that happens with drunkenness is a stimulated euphoria. Now that can be compared to the joy of the Lord. Okay, a stimulated euphoria comes with alcohol, but the joy of the Lord, that's something that comes from the Lord that you can have that's not a stimulated euphoria. It is, in fact, if you want to call it a euphoria, the joy of the Lord is something that happens as a result of the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life. Okay, here's another thing that happens with drunkenness is a self-confidence, but we'll compare or contrast that to the boldness that happened to these apostles, these disciples on the day of Pentecost and thereafter as well. Walking in the boldness, it wasn't just a self-confidence. One of the things that, and often a reason that people drink is, hey, I want to be uninhibited socially. You know, I have these hang-ups, but you know, once I get loosened up a little bit and get a little bit more free, I'm just not so inhibited socially. And so, you know, I want to have that. Well, just that's contrasted or compared to the boldness that we can receive in the Lord, where even one of the results of drunkenness is the expressing the first thought or action that comes to mind rather than an appropriate comment for the given situation. Okay, person will say whatever is on their mind. You know, doesn't matter who I hurt or whatever. I just speak whatever is on my mind. But you know, I'm a good actor. Okay, but again, if you think about that and want to compare this with this filling of the Holy Spirit, they received the same uninhibited ability to speak out what was on their mind when Peter says, you were the ones that crucified him. Wasn't he saying the very first thing that was on his mind imparted to him by the Spirit of God as he was filled with the Holy Spirit? He didn't stand back and say, oh man, these guys, if I tell them they crucified him, they're probably not going to like me. How's my missionary ministry, witness ministry going to advance if people start rejecting me? So you know, I better be careful how I say that. And no, intoxicated or under the influence of the Spirit of God, he spoke out those words in boldness, not because he was uninhibited, because he was stimulated by alcohol, but because he was being influenced by the Spirit of God. All right, so Peter under the influence, again, the real thing. Before Pentecost, he had the denial of even knowing Jesus. But after Pentecost, I'll just show you these verses. Well, I guess I've already spoken of them in Acts 2:36 and in Acts 4:10 was when he said, this Jesus whom you crucified, in his boldness and his confidence, he spoke those words. And then in Acts 4:19, it says, we can't stop telling about this Jesus. Okay, here's another phenomena that happens as a result of alcohol consumption, and that is forgetting problems. And oftentimes people consume alcohol because for that very purpose. You know, I just want to forget about the stress that's going on in my life right now and the trouble that I'm dealing with. And so, you know, I just want to be wasted. And but that is contrasted to our casting our cares and receiving a peace that is beyond comprehension that comes from Philippians 4:7. Says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The verse before that speaks about how we obtain that peace, and that it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then this peace will come peace that you can't understand. And see, there's the devil's counterfeit for the for what God has is the real thing. The devil's counterfeit is cover up your problems. Cover them up with alcohol. But God's is turn them over to me. Don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer, receive a peace that passes all understanding. So there is the counterfeit, but there is the real thing. God wants us to experience the real thing. See, the result of the counterfeit is destruction. Another phenomena, impaired judgment. You know, these are getting down on the negatives where, you know, how many people consume alcohol because they want their judgment to be impaired? It's like, you know, you think about that and it's like, no, they're looking for the other things, the stimulated euphoria, the, you know, don't, you know, cover up my problems. You know, those kinds of things are the pleasure for the season. But no one goes for it because, you know what, I want to impair my judgment. I'm going to consume some alcohol because I want to impair my judgment. No one does it for that reason. In fact, everyone thinks that my judgment won't be impaired. I can handle it. My judgment won't be impaired. But see, the contrast there is instead of walking in impaired judgment with the filling of the Spirit of God, we walk in God's insight. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Walking in God's insight, how much more better is that than the counterfeit destructive work of impaired judgment? Well, go on from there. It gets worse. Hangover, sickness, death from drunkenness versus continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I think here's another counterfeit, and that is, you know, giving your all at the throne. You know, everything within you is offered up at the throne. Here's the devil's deception or the devil's counterfeit compared to, you know, us being able to walk continually, you know, not with the hangover, but just staying high, just staying filled with the Spirit of God continually, and instead of these negative consequences of drunkenness, which is, like I said, hangover, sickness, death to other people because of impaired judgment. You know, like I said in Ephesians 5, you know, be not drunk with wine. That will lead to ruin your life. That will lead to ruin your life. But instead, the things, and this is the point I want to make. As long as people are still wanting to get drunk, there is still a need for the Spirit of God and that infilling of the Holy Spirit. If anyone attempts to tell you that that we live in a different dispensation of the Holy Spirit, you know, that was for the day of Pentecost, you know, signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, that was for a different time period when the church was first being established, just ask them one question. Do people still want to get drunk? Do people still attend the bars? Do they still go to the bars? Why are they doing that? Well, because they want the euphoria. They want the uninhibited socialization. They want the forget my problems. Well, then there's the counterfeit. What do they need? They need the real thing. They need the power of God. We still need that filling of the Holy Spirit. When it says don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit, if there's people still going to the bars to get drunk, I tell you what, there's as long as that's happening, if that doesn't happen anymore, well, maybe we won't need the Spirit of God anymore. But I tell you what, as long as we're here on this earth, people will still be going to the bar if they're going for the counterfeit rather than for the real thing. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the euphoria and the joy of the Lord. And here again is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, one of the verses we read. It says, filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making music to the Lord in your heart. I want to ask you this question. What do drunk people do? What do people under the influence do? They sing. You know, the old barroom songs. And they've lost the inhibition. So it doesn't care what I sound like. I don't care what I sound like. I'm just going to have fun experiencing that euphoria. People under the influence sing. Well, it is the same in the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. Psalms 5:11 says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. Psalm 33:1, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Psalms 81:1, sing praises to God, our strength. What is God? He is our strength. How does that strength come? Or whom does that strength come through? The Holy Spirit is the strength of God. It says, sing praises to God, our strength. Remember the scripture that says in Nehemiah, says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes we just need to sing to stir that joy. We need to lose our inhibitions and sing like no one cares. Hallelujah. And this is a verse I started the service with this morning. Psalm 92:4. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. Man, did that ever fit with the songs that we sang this morning. All that we started that very first song speaking about the things that he has done for me. And I sing for joy because of what you have done. Psalm 95:1. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And then I love this one in 1 Corinthians 14, where it's speaking about praying in other tongues and worshiping in other tongues. And it says this in chapter 14, verse 15, well then, what shall we do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. So there is the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Do you note how between songs, Stephanie will just often go off into singing a new song. It's words with music, and it's not something that she wrote down all these words before she started the service or anything like that. That's just Spirit-anointed, Spirit-led singing by the Spirit. Sometimes we'll just have piano chords going, and you know, it's just an opportune time to lift your voice to the Lord, sometimes in English, words you understand, and sometimes in other words, tongues by the Spirit. I will sing by the Spirit also. Okay, so there's that opportunity to do that, and part of what we are doing is we are getting our spiritual drunk on. You're getting that joy of the Lord, that joy that becomes your strength. We're receiving that, infilling that of the Spirit of God. So we need to sing like we're drunk. Let people walk in here and go, man, it's only 9:30 in the morning. Are they drunk already? Here's a profound word from the Lord. I once in a while I get a profound word from the Lord, and these are the short ones that, you know, really stick with me. You know, a few months ago I shared with you about, you know, God's two-worded profound word to me is stop moping. Well, here's another one I received not too long ago. It was lighten up. And I've been, you know, attempting to apply that word to my life, not only in ministry, but also at home, you know, my relationship with, you know, my wife and my children, and I attempting that lighten up, sometimes to the point of obnoxiousness. You know, that's when I start singing the songs that, you know, I don't care what they think, or, you know, cracking jokes or making, you know, and they say, Dad, you know, it's like I'm drunk obnoxious. You know, how drunks get obnoxious. And, but anyway, I'm, you know, attempting to apply this word to my life, I just want to share with you that there's, I believe, a couple of different levels that we can get to in walking in the Spirit, and one of them is, you know, again, using the DUI or DWI, living under the influence is a person that is being led by the Spirit of God, whereas living while intoxicated, I believe, means living by the Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit, not just influenced, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures definitely speak about that, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to toss the scripture up on the screen, Romans 8:5-9, and I'm just going to read the parts highlighted that give regard to being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It says, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. So here is, you know, we can live a life not only under the influence, but we can live a life while intoxicated, being absolutely controlled by the Spirit of God. I think that is something for us to press for. I know it is something for me to press for. I know I want to walk in a whole lot more boldness than I typically do. I want to be much more a witness for the Lord than I typically am. And it's just that, you know, it's not like I have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's something that we need to continually press for from the Lord and receive from the Lord. And so today our interaction time is going to take a little bit different flavor than normal. And I will release you back later for some snacks. They're here and you'll get to enjoy some fellowship time. But I want you first to just do some personal interaction with the Lord and with the Spirit of God. And I'm going to ask Loretta if you'd come forward, please. I pre-warned her about this, but to just have some time with some music going. And I don't know exactly how this is supposed to come out. I just felt like the Lord was prompting me to offer that up to you or to give you the opportunity to interact with Him. Now, interact with that. If you sense that, you know, that filling of the Spirit of God is something that I need, or maybe this is kind of a first time for you having heard this message, that, you know, that there is a Holy Spirit part of the Trinity that's not just the third part of the Trinity that was there brooding at creation, but He was poured out on the day of Pentecost so that we could receive the power, the strength of God to be His witnesses. And maybe you've never said, Spirit of God, fill me before, because you've never understood. No one has ever taught you about how that is God's source of strength. And I just want to invite you today in your interaction time with the Lord to say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill me with the Spirit of God. Even as you did on the day of Pentecost with your disciples, I am a disciple of yours. It was promised to me as a gift from God that would be not only to you, to your children, but to even to the Gentiles and all whom God would call to Himself. Maybe you're here like the disciples in Acts chapter 4. They were there on the day of Pentecost. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. But here, two chapters later, however many days that was later, after dealing with the leaders, they're here and they're praying and saying, Lord, fill us with your boldness. They'd been filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but it says, and they were filled with the Spirit. So they were refilled. Maybe you just need to be refilled today. So let your cry out to God, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit again. I want to walk not just led by the Spirit, not just influenced by the Spirit, but I want to walk controlled by the Spirit. Maybe this is a time to offer yourself up before the throne of grace to say, Lord, take the members of my body and make them to be instruments of righteousness rather than instruments for sin. Offering yourself up to be completely controlled by the Spirit of God. Let's just go before the Lord. And Loretta, I'm going to ask you to, I don't know, just pick it up a little bit. Let's allow for joyful